for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, May the 28th, 2007. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service, teaching on Walk in Freedom.
The title of this message is To Walk in Freedom. But before I start on the message to walk in freedom, I want to talk a little bit about the weapons of our warfare. And this may be old hat to some of you, but there's some people who need to hear it. So you bear with me, please. The first and most important weapon you have is forgiveness. No matter what you do, no matter how much you pray, how much you fast, how much you give, if you have unforgiveness, you're still in your sin, and God will not hear you. And so, you must learn to forgive. Now, forgiveness is an act of your will. It's something that you decide that you're going to do. You decided that you would believe the Bible. You decided that you would believe the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow Him. Now you decide you're going to forgive. And what do you do when you forgive? You give up resentment against or desire to punish, you pardon. You give up all claim to punish or to exact a penalty for an offense. In other words, you cancel the debt and you say it's even. It's not up to you to decide how much punishment someone deserves. It's up to God. And so God says you forgive. So you decide you're going to do that. And then you ask God to heal you. You want to be healed of the hurt. And you want to be healed of that wound. And you do that by praying for the person who's hurt you. And the more you pray for someone, that God will bless them. Remember, it says in Matthew 5:43-44, pray for those who have hurt you, have used you and abused you, and spitefully used you and abused you, it says, that you may be a child of your Father in heaven. And so you pray for people, those people that have hurt you, and you ask God to bless them. Now, how God blesses them is up to Him. God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He says, God's nature is to be merciful. He wants to be merciful. And He wants you to desire mercy. Remember, the law of sowing and reaping. You want forgiveness from God, then you sow forgiveness to others. And it comes back to you. You want mercy? Sow mercy, not judgment. Remember, mercy triumphs over judgment. You want blessings? Sow blessings. And they come back. Which says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And He says, most assuredly I say to you, who says this mountain, be ye removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his mind, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have what he says. And then he says, he ties it to, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. That's a great faith chapter verse. But then he ties it to it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And here we have the man who does not forgive. The master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, or the tormentors, depending on which version you have, until he should pay all that was due him. And so my heavenly Father will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let me tell you something here. If you have been delivered to the torturers or the tormentors, you can ask Brother Glenn to pray for you. You can ask Sister Jerry to pray for you. You can ask Brother Clement to pray for you. I don't care who you ask to pray for you. They're not going to be to pray them tormentors off of you until you forgive. That's it. That's what it says. The master has to... He has withdrawn his protection. You walked out from under his wing is what you've done. You walked away from him. And you've delivered because you're out there in their territory. And what are those tormentors? Well, that comes from an old Greek word which means to test the currency. These were men who tested currency. And in those days, they didn't have paper money. They had coins. And they had a whole bunch of caustic solutions. And they'd say, yeah, dip that down in that caustic. Yep, that's gold. It doesn't eat it up. That's real gold. And so that word was then transferred to the men in the jailhouse who tested your testimony to see whether you're telling the truth. And they had a cute little thing they put your hand in called Iron Maiden and shut it. And then they had thumb screws over each finger, and they just sort of tighten that thing up to your finger crush. They say, are you sure you're telling the truth? You sure you don't want to change your story? And then you squirm and holler because they got you tied down until they crushed every finger in your hand very slowly. And then they had other kind of nice little instruments they used. Okay, had just all kind of nice little ideas to inflict pain and punishment on you. You can't get ordinary folks to do something like that. So they went out and got demon-possessed, sadistic people to do it. And they were the torturers or the tormentors. The one thing you didn't want to do is be into their delightful hands. Because they enjoyed, that's the demons enjoy torturing you. They get their jollies out of it. And so when you're in unforgiveness, you're out there in their territory. So you need to be quick to forgive. I mean, immediately you forgive. And you let it go. You don't talk about it anymore. And when the enemy brings it up to you, say, I bind you, you foul devil. I've forgiven that. God bless Aunt Susie. Bless our Lord. You know, a story about the little old lady who had the bad arthritis and she came into the prayer meeting. And grandmother, really sweet little Pentecostal lady. And she was all twisted with arthritis and began talking to her, and they got unforgiveness. The word. Oh, no, doctor. That's a sin not to forgive. I've forgiven everybody. I don't have unforgiveness against anybody. So we prayed, and we kept coming back to unforgiveness. No, oh, no, oh, no. And then her nephew was there, and he said, how about Aunt Sarah? And then a pall fell on this lady. Ain't Sarah, ain't Susie, I can't remember now. And she said, I've forgiven Ain't Susie, or Ain't Sarah. God can get her much better than I'll ever be able. He's going to make her pay for what she did to me. I said, you know, it doesn't sound like to me you've forgiven Ain't Sarah. And so I began to talk to her about what forgiveness really entailed. It means giving up revenge. The claim for revenge. And she accepted it, and she wept, and she forgave Aunt Sarah, and she began to pray for Aunt Sarah, and her hands began to twist out. Come out. And she got up out of that wheelchair, and she walked out of that room. I have seen lots of other folks in North Africa that didn't get up out of that chair, but she did. She was under the tormentors, and she had been to this one, and she'd been to that one, and she'd been down to several of the great healing centers. But until she forgave, that thing wouldn't leave. And it's with you will be the same way if you don't forgive. I once carrying a in the hands of the tormentors, and I began to weep and cry, and I wrote everybody that I could think of that I had done aught against and asked them to forgive me. I wrote people that were dead. I wrote to ask if they were dead. I wanted to ask them if they would forgive me. In the process of this 2-month ordeal, I went through searching my heart and looking and trying to find these people to make it right. I got healed. I got released. I don't remember exactly when the release came, but it dawned on me suddenly that it was gone. And so if you have aught in your heart, or if you have hurt other people, sometimes you have to go ask for forgiveness. You have to humble yourself. It's heard that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That will bring healing. That will bring healing. Forgiveness is an act of your will, and refusal to carry it, refusal to meditate on it, refusal to turn it over and nurse it and keep it warm. You remember Tom O'Shanta? The great Robert Bowen Burns wrote the great poem, Tom O'Shanta, and Tom had been out at the bar getting drunk, and he was riding home, and his wife was waiting for him, and she was nursing her wrath to keep it warm so she'd be ready when Tom walked in. And a lot of us are that way. We nurse that hurt and keep it warm. You better not nurse it. You better let it die. And thinking about it, the Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we've rebelled against Him. Forgiveness is God's. And He said, you forgive and I'll heal your forgiveness. I'll be merciful and heal you. Judge not that you be not judged. Or condemn not, and be not condemned. Well, what condemnation you condemn, you will be condemned, and the measure you use will be measured back to you. That's the law of sowing and reaping. You condemn those that hurt you, that condemnation will come back. Bless, because it comes back too. Next is the battleground of your mind, and that's where you battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. That's when you are arguing with yourself. And every high thing exalts against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into thoughts. Lest Satan to take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device. That word devices is thoughts. It's in the New Testament. Let's follow that word through. For the minds, whose minds the God of this world is blinded, lest they believe, lest the light of the gospel should shine on him. This word mind right there, the same as thoughts. And here in Philippians, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. That word guard there means to garrison with troops or to surround with troops and let nothing in or out. So you want God guarding your thoughts. Pulling down those ungodly thoughts, rejecting them, saying, no, I am focusing on Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe His Word. I believe that I've been healed. I have believed that I'm a child of God. I believe that I am moving forward. I will not believe the thoughts of the enemy that tell me that I can't be healed until I do know this or that or the other about the past. God doesn't bring it up. You let it go. And move, fit your focus on Him and move forward. And believe His Word that the peace of God You need to go back and read the whole thing. It says rejoice, and again I say rejoice with thanksgiving and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. For the weapons of our warfare are not mine. When we just went through that one. So the sources of your thoughts. You have a thought that comes in your mind. First is you decide to think about it. Second thought is the Holy Spirit. You get that thought comes in your mind. I didn't think of that. The Holy Spirit, oh, He won't bring that up. Well, there are three other sources. The sin in your body is one. Now, Romans 5:12 says, therefore, as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because of all sin. Well, this is not a sinful act. This is a entity. Now, it comes from an Accadian word. The first time this word is mentioned is in Genesis when God said sin crouches at the door. That's an Accadian word. It comes from an Accadian root, Ramusus. And that is a demonic force. And I wrote my son, and I called my son in Cambridge, and I said, is this right? And he said, I don't know, Dad, I'm not an expert on the Accadian language, but I have a friend that is, and I will talk to him. And so he called me back and said, you remember when I took you through the British Museum of Natural History? I said, well, yes. You remember we went through the Assyrian section? I said, yeah, I remember that. That's the most depressing thing I've ever done. I mean, it was creepy. And he said, you remember those funny-looking little things that had wings? And I said, you mean like the gargoyles on the Masonic Temple? That's it. Those are the Rasmussens. They are demonic spiritual beings. And they can either be mad, I can't say the words. They will either be kind to you or mean to you. Depending on whether or not you've made an adequate offering to the demon god that controls them. And that is the word from which the root, from which sin, him, it's a sin principle. And it before you were saved, you were in bondage to sin. You had to obey it. It was your master. You could stand against it, but you obeyed it in the end because you were in bondage to it. But He sets you free from sin and death because you died when you got saved. And through death, you were set free from sin. I am dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. When you got saved, you died. If I get into this, I won't get out. But you died because you took out the stony heart, which had your spirit in it. And when your spirit without the body the body without the spirit is dead, it says in James. And then you put a new heart. A flesh in you. And so He raised you. He put a new spirit in and raised you up in the likeness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you are dead to this. But it's there and it wants to control you. And Romans says, don't let it reign in your body. You say, no sin. I don't have to yield to you anymore. I'm free from you. Get out of Him. In the name of Jesus. And then start praying in tongues or singing. Moving your mind over to something else and let sin sit out there and they're in the wind. So it's sin. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. You don't have to obey it anymore. An unsaved person doesn't have any choice. But you died to it. Now, it says, now if I do, if I do what I will not to do. It's no longer I do it, but sin that dwells in me. But the law of the life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And the third source is the flesh of soulish desires. And the flesh of soulish desires, that's your soul. Now your soul, if left to itself, your natural soul is selfish, self-centered, self-glorifying. Now, it and sin love each other. your natural soul. And you have to say no. That's the reason it's Jesus said, if you got to put your, let your soul die. That soul falls into the ground. The corn of seed, the seed of the corn falls in the ground and dies. Then he will bring forth much life, soul life. You got to let your soul, you got to deny your natural self. I can talk about that for an hour and a half too, and I don't intend to go there. And James says that James 1:7 says the temptation rises out of your soulish desire. Because the carnal man, that's the fleshy man, or the soulish man, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. But and James says each one is tempted when he's drawn away and by his own desires and enticed. And the last source is demonic beings. They don't have to be in you to put thoughts. They don't have to be in you to put thoughts in your mind. They can project them in. And they always project them in the first person. Try to make you think that you thought of it yourself. And that's the reason it's very important that you discern your thoughts. Where they came from, every one of them. Now here in John 13:2, said the supper having been ended, the devil already having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So the devil, you know, you get these movies that said Judas Iscariot was really just a good man and he was just trying to get Jesus to reveal himself before the time and so on. That's a bunch of malarkey. That's the movies. The people they believe that's scripture. That's the editorial license that the writers take. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, so they'd have editorial license to write in what they think the Bible should say. And they put it on the screen. And they mix in enough scripture that you'll think that's scripture too, but it's not. The Bible said that Judas was a son of Baal and a thief. He had charge of the money bag. He stole out of it. He stole out of the common purse. And so you must bind the enemy. And this is the weapon against the enemy. And I think I talked about my experience with the serpent, with the cobra. I told that to the men. I don't think I told it here. You know, the word bind means to tie up with chains. That's what it means. Look it up in Strong's Concordance. It's to look it up in Kittle. It's to tie with chains. That's what it means. It means to put shackles on something. And in Matthew 12:29, no, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless first he binds a strong man, then he can plunder his house. And a strong man fully armed guards his own palace and his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. The armor of the legal grounds that gives him the right to be there. And the stronger than he is the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so he binds him. Takes away his armor. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives. This is from Revelation. It's at the end of the speaking of the war between Michael and God's angels and the devil and his angels. And they said, they overcame him. Well, they, who is they? It is the believers on earth. Because the angels cannot claim the blood of Jesus. It says in Hebrews that he did not come to give aid to angels, but to the seed of Abraham, who you are. All of you know that you're the seed of Abraham? Does anybody in here not know that they're the seed of Abraham? Can anybody tell me where it says you're the seed of Abraham? It says in Galatians. Those, Galatians chapter 3, those who are Jesus Christ be the seed of Abraham. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Angels don't have any testimony. You've got a testimony. And they did not love their lives until the death. Angels are immortal. They don't die. So this doesn't, he's not talking about angels. He's talking about believers. Overcame the enemy. And then it says, now the Christ. Read it. I'll misquote it. And it's not on the PowerPoint. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay. And so binding and loosening. This is the first reference to it is in Matthew 6, 18 and 19. This is the King James Version, but this is not the real King James Version. This is a sanctified version of it where they have taken out the these and the thous. I asked them to print the King James. Well, we got it off the computer and they were using a sanctified version. I'm going to read it with the But I say to thee, singular, that thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee, singular, a singular person, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In modern English, there is no singular second person. There is in Greek, there is in Scandinavian languages, there is in German, there is in French. They're just not in English, in modern English. But there was in Elizabethan English, in which the King James was written. And they laugh about the thee and thou, but it really makes a difference in a number of scriptures. And I could go over the ones that makes a difference, and I won't do that here today. But I just want you to know, this is given to a single person. It's given to you. And it applies to you in the area of your authority. You, your family. If you're a pastor, your flock. If you're an employer, your people that work for you. Those people that God has placed under your authority. You are in authority because God has raised you up. All authority emanates from the throne of God. Amen. And you are, and if you are in a position of authority, it's because God has lifted you up. That's Romans chapter 13. And you will give an account on the day of judgment of how you use that authority. Hebrews chapter 13. So it should tighten you up just a little bit to realize that you're responsible for your authority, that those placed under you. It says, pray for those who rule over you, for they watch for your soul. It means they stay up at night praying for you because they must give account. It's in Hebrews. And so you pray for them and you bind and you loose in their lives. You bind the enemy in their lives and you loose. You pray, you loose mercy and goodness and deliverance and healing, kindness and blessings and prosperity. What is prosperity? God's grace is able to make all things abound to thee that shall have all sufficiency and all good things to do the and some to share with others. He doesn't prosper you so you can have a Cadillac and a big hill house up in the country club section next to the country club. That's not what He prospers you for. He prospers you so that you can pay your bills, do the ministry He's called you to, and have some to share with others. Amen. And to forward His kingdom. Amen. And people who go out and build a $5 million house out of the ministry and say, God has prospered me to do this so that I can show what a prosperous God He is, how He blesses people. Well, God's not standing on the corner there not giving out $100 bills to everybody who walks by. He can get all kind of followers. I mean, you have folks lined up from here to Little Rock. If He's standing out there giving out $100 bills. Praise God. Oh, Lord. And so you bind and loose. I don't know if I'm going to ever get out of this, just out of the weapons. Applies to... Now, this second one is in 15 here. And let's look at the context of it. Starting with verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. Don't go gossip to everybody in church about it. If he won't hear you, take one or two more, the elders of the church maybe, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. For surely I say to you, whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. Now you see, this is applied to the church, to the body. And this is in plural. Why, surely I say to thee. I say to ye, I'm sorry, to ye. Plural. Whatever ye bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever ye loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again I say to ye, that if two of ye agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered, and Derek Prince says that could be called, indicating they have a leader, the Holy Spirit, together, by in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That's given to the church. And that agree there, where is it? Where's the word agree? Concerning if any two of you agree, right there. That word comes from the Greek symphonize. And it's the same word in melody, coming together in harmony. And if you agree, coming together in spiritual harmony with one or two others in the Holy Spirit, you'll have what you ask for. He says, agree concerning anything. What does that cover? Covers everything. I once went to a spiritual warfare conference, and we had some noted national figures on spiritual warfare on this conference up there. And one of them got upset. And he said, you show me in the Bible where there's a scripture that says you can bind a principality in power as spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, chapter 10. And he was beating on the table so loud, and I was about as far as the end of the highway from him, way there were 1,000 people in this place. And he was, I could hear him, I could almost feel the vibration. And on the other table, here came somebody else beating, and this cat fight broke out at the conference. And I'm looking like this, and three or four of these kids that I didn't know, but they knew me, they came up to, Dr. Noel, is there a verse? I said, of course there's a verse. This been, I gave him this verse. I said, what does anything not cover? He said, well, go up and tell him. And I knew the man who was moderating, and the poor man was trying to quiet him down. I said, oh, he don't need me coming up there quoting. I need to keep my mouth shut and out of it. I'm not on that panel. I ain't going up there. And it destroyed the conference. I mean, that cat fight went on, and finally one of them got up in a huff and stormed out. And it just sort of... And nobody ever answered the question. The enemy got in, didn't he? But anything covers anything. But you've got to agree in the Holy Spirit. And that is, it's, you know, you hear this quoting, you hear people call on the phone, will you agree with me? Say, oh, yeah, I agree with you. That's not it, people. It is not a mental agreement. It's a coming together in the Holy Spirit. A spiritual harmony. We had spiritual harmony of a magnificent degree this morning in the prayer meeting. I mean, God's Spirit came down in a tremendous way this morning. And if you are called to attack principalities and powers outside of your family, then you need the covering. You need to be in the group, in the church. You need the covering of the people who have spiritual responsibility for you. They need to agree. You're going to attack the... Okay. We had some witches' covens and a satanic coven in our local vicinity some years ago. And they were killing cattle out in the fields and draining the blood out of them and cutting their sexual parts out and leaving the carcasses. And there were some of us who were called together to stand against this. We we came together. God brought us together. And so we went to our pastor and the elders, and we asked them to pray with us if that is what we were supposed to do. And we prayed, and then we received permission, and they agreed. And we agreed that we would not talk about this publicly. And we began, and we met every morning at 5 o'clock to pray against these things. And then we also had a Bible study that met 3 times a week, and we prayed for people. And this went on for 2 years. God was so gracious with my family. He didn't attack my family, but they did attack me personally. He tried to choke me to death one night. I woke up in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, I was taking a nap, and I opened my eyes, and this big power. I just got gotten home. I was tired. I had my underwear on, and I covered myself up with a blanket on the bed. My head was on the pillow, and I just was going to sleep. And I woke with a start to see this big pair of gorilla hands coming through the air. And I started with "I bind," and I got "you out." By then, one of them had thrown the blanket in the corner, and they had me around the neck, and they were choking me. And I got Jesus, and I managed to get Jesus out, and they turned loose and went down to the floor. And I thought I sat up. I thought maybe I was dreaming, but the blanket was over in the corner. And I said, And I looked at myself, and I had these red spots on my throat. So I went on to. Didn't think about it. Next morning, I woke up, got ready to shave, and had these two huge bruises right over my carotids. I said, look at that. I didn't think about it until I went to the nursery, and I said, the nurses were looking at me, and said, "Dr. Noel has got a hickey on his neck." I went home and put this turtleneck on to cover him up. And people said, "Doctor, why are you wearing that turtleneck? What's under there?" I said, "You won't believe me if I told you." But of that, there were a number of those people who came out of those witches' covens that came that were saved. Two of them actually joined my deliverance group. The others joined the church. They got deliverance. They got healing. They got deliverance. The satanic group dissipated, and the slaughter of cattle stopped in our area. I learned a tremendous amount about. I don't generally talk about the first time I ever told this on public testimony that I know of. It was 25 years ago now. But that's the power of coming together and standing. And I still pray with some of these men every morning. You'll see me with a cell phone on my hand. I'm still praying with my prayer partners. and we cover each other's family, and we pray for each other, and we pray for whatever God lays on our heart. But I tell you, prayer is important. It's important that you have prayer partners to pray with. A man and his wife should pray together 3-4 times a day. And come together in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It says that your prayers be not hindered in 1 Peter. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, that's binding and loosening. We'll run through walking in freedom rather quickly here. I spend a lot more time on this than I thought I would. But to walk in freedom. Therefore, since we also, surrounded by so great cloud, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and run the race set before us. And so, we all have a besetting sin. We all have something that we have a weakness. And the enemy knows what that weakness is. And he will pick on it as long as you yield to it. And so you've got to say, devil, you can't touch me there anymore. I'm moving away from that. I bind that. I move away from it. And I will not. You will not. I won't yield to that. I'm not going to bite that. It says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. That's what Jesus said. You're going to be offended in this world. Folks are going to offend you. They're going to come up and they're going to offend you. And the enemy will send up nice Christian people to help you. And they will offend you. Now, they don't mean to. They think they'd be helping you. They offer you some constructive criticism. But their legalistic demon has bound them and they blinded them and they don't know it hurts you. They think they're being nice and they're saving you and helping you. But they are deceived in this area. But don't you take offense to it. You know what that Greek word offense means? It's scangular. It is the trigger to the trap. It was, they bent an old sapling over and had a rope that came down from it, and they put this snare on the ground, and then they ran a rope to the tree, and it came down, and they had a little trigger there that held it in place, and on the end of that trigger they put some bait. And the animal would reach for the bait for the offense. The scangular would release the snare and up the tree. The tree would snap up and the devil had you. And so an offense is the trap. You pick up the offense. Somebody comes and offends you and you pick it up and get mad. He's got you. In Acts 14, Paul is going back to the believers, and they strengthen the believers, they encourage them to continue, reminding them we must through many hardships. That's the New Living Translation. I don't particularly like that translation. I don't know how it got in there. Yeah, the word is tribulation. Many tribulations we enter the kingdom of God. And that's pressure. That was putting somebody between two rocks and pushing the pressure in to make them tell where they put the boot in. And the devil will pressure you. He will send somebody to offend you, and he will pressure you to be offended. He'll put pressure on you. He'll have another good friend say, well, they shouldn't have said that to you. They didn't have any right to pick on you like that. And he's putting pressure on you to pick up that offense. As the enemy has sent those people in to support you, to encourage you to get mad and sin and get hurt. Don't listen to them. That's the enemy speaking. Know the voice of the enemy. If somebody encourages you to pick up on offense, that's the enemy. Now, they don't know it's they don't know they're being used. Don't get mad at them. Get mad at the devil. He's your enemy, not your Christian brother and sister. Pray for them. They are being used. And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, that's an interesting word, persecution. It means that you're going to be pursued. The integral part of that word is pursuit. The devil's going to chase you. You're going to set that off and you're going to go outside and there's going to be two folks out there to say, yeah, buddy, I saw what she did to you. There's going to be two people out there to encourage you and won't let you know, man, you got a right. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. But that's the devil. He's got it all laid out before. He's got that trap. He goes to great extremes to manipulate everything to set that thing up for you. Because he wants to trip you up. Isn't it nice to know that you're that important? See, you thought you was rejected. Man, you an important person. I mean, they just go into all this trouble and planning. You an important person to the devil because you walked out of his jailhouse. And then you went and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you came down here and learned about deliverance. Man, he put a star around your name, big circle. Get this one. Too late, you already come. So you better learn how to fight him. Okay, praise you, Lord God. Yeah, this is from the parable of the sower. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only a while. But when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, he stumbles. And so you need to say, strengthen me, Lord God. Give me depth of character. Remember that tribulation bringeth forth endurance or patience. And patience bringeth forth character. Depth of character so you will not stumble. And that character is proven character, having passed the test. And so you need to pray that God will give you root to be able to stand. How do you respond to that? Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. That's one of Jerry's favorite verses. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. You say, when we are offended, we must respond with unconditional love. And it's only possible through God. He is the source of all unconditional love. And you say, Lord, give me the ability. If you get wounded or hurt or threatened, fearful, you don't react and you find yourself not reacting in love, stop. Right there. Repent. Ask God's help. Don't react with harsh words to an offender. You'd like to. Your flesh wants you to. That's what your flesh says do. But you come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Come and say, God, help me. I can't do this without you. And a soft answer will turn away wrath. Grievous words will stir up anger. And it says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down and sin, nor give place to the devil. What does that mean? Be angry and don't sin. If you feel yourself getting angry, stop right then and there, because the righteous works of God is never done in man's anger. James chapter 1. Find yourself getting angry, stop! And say, God, oh God, give me grace. That's, you know, your mama used to tell you to count to 10. To stop and count to 10. 20, 30, 40, 50. But you stop and say, God, give me grace now. I need your grace. And don't let the sun go down. When the sun goes down, you start a new day. If you do, you're going to give place to the devil. What does that word place mean? It means, to move over on the sofa and give him a seat right here. Or move around, make place for him at the table. Tribulation produces perseverance of patience. Patience, character, proven character, and character, hope. And hope doesn't disappointment because the love of God has been poured out in our heart. Holy Spirit has given us His love. And so you ask for love. God help! Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, mature, lacking nothing. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bring many sons to glory. That's you. To make the captain, Jesus, of their salvation perfect, mature, complete through sufferings. And you're going to be a joint in Romans 8:15. Says, and if we are heirs, if He's an heir, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's if people stop that verse there, they don't quote the lesson. If we participate in His suffering, deliver yourself. What do? You deliver yourself. Like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a fowl, bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, most of the time, you can deliver yourself. There's an occasional time that you need faith of others to stand with you. But if you will practice delivering yourself when you get offended, hurt, wounded, threatened, insulted, if you will practice delivering yourself right then and asking God to forgive the, to bless the offender, you forgive and you ask God to bless that person and pay for His love to flow through you to them and continue, you won't pick it up. And you won't pick up them demons. You won't open the door for the enemy to come into your life. And you do this every day, 4 or 5 times a day, 10 times, whatever's necessary. But if my righteous one will live by faith, but if he shrinks back, I will not be fearing. For we are not of those who shrink back or destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. What is that talking about? That's out of Hebrews, and that's the NIV, because they use the word shrink back, which indicates they're drawing back in fear, and that is the correct translation of the Greek. So you believe that God is capable. And he who doubts is condemned if he eats, but if he does, because he does not eat from faith, but whatever is not from faith is sin. That's a strong statement. Whatever you do that's not based on the faith of God being led by the Holy Spirit is sin. Woo! Now, I tell you, that scripture's in your Bible too. And you have problems, but you got a problem. It's your problem, it's not mine. You have to say, God, help me here. Help me here. But it's in your Bible too. And it's a plain reading of it. There's 6 things that God hates. Here's 7 are abomination to him. A proud look. I won't go in the rest of them. But the first thing you got to do is you got to humble yourself. And if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, and that is also the marginal reading there is self-seeking and what's the marginal reading? Selfish ambition. In your heart, don't lie or boast against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. That word sensual is actually soulish. The word, there's no, until the latest dictionary, there was no such word as soulish in the dictionary. The word psychish in the Greek, which means soulish, was either translated sensual or natural. For instance, it says a natural man does not understand the things of God. It's a soulish man that does not understand the things of God. It's translated either sensual or soulish. Here it's sensual. It's earthly, comes from the world, from the earth, from the God of this world, from the world system, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, from the soul. And they lead you into the demonic. You lean on them, you will come into the demonic. That is the wisdom of this world. You see, there are 2 sources of wisdom. That's the wisdom of this world. But the wisdom that is from above is first gentle, pure, without adulteration. Gentle, pure, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And there's some other adjectives too. There's seven adjectives, and I can't remember the rest of them right this minute. When we realize we're acting these ways, you can repent of it, and then you can start the deliverance process. When you're acting in fear, not in faith, in pride, or with worldly wisdom, you need to turn away from those things. And then you can start the deliverance process. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so you got to humble yourself. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. How you humble yourself? Pride goes for destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. Man's pride will lay him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well and wise is wisdom. And where does it say, I'm talking about fasting now, where does it say in the Bible that going hungry causes you to be humble? I looked for a verse. I said, God, where does it say that? I looked in the dictionary. It said fasting is to go without food. What does it say? And that being hungry will humble you. It says it right here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So he humbles you, allows you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know. He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. That right there is in italics because it's not in the original. It proceeds out of the mouth of God. But Jesus quoted this verse to the devil. And when he said it, by every man shall live by every rhema. That's a spoken word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Daniel humbled himself. He ate no bread. Well, how can you do? Well, you can either just drink water. I fasted once for 42 days when one of my prayer partners was dying. And a group of us decided to fast, and we fasted. And after about 2 weeks, my nurse came to me, and she said, Dr. Noel, did you know that your breath would wilt a flower? I said, really? She said, well, there's something terribly wrong with your breath. Well, I had this acetone. And so I was walking around like this, you know, and I wanted to breathe on anybody. Everybody thought I was an alcoholic because I wouldn't look at them, and I wouldn't let them smell my breath. I started drinking 3 glasses of skim milk a day, and I found that there's enough sugar and protein in that it'll burn the acetone and you don't get bad breath. So when I'm fasting, I generally drink 3 glasses of milk a day to keep my breath from going bad. Breath mints don't get rid of it either. I tried that. That didn't help at all. Well, Daniel, he just ate no pleasant bread, and that I took that to mean cereal grain, but he was talking about food. He didn't eat any sweets, nor any meat, any meat, flesh from the animals, no wine. And that's called a Daniel's fast, actually sort of a vegetarian's fast. You fast the way God shows you. You can either fast a meal a day, or you can, generally you give up something that you really enjoy. God will show you what He wants you to do. And you start, and you say, is it easy to fast? Well, no, it's real hard the first few times. But as you, like a muscle, as you exercise it, it becomes stronger. I thought I was going to die the first time I fasted 72 hours. But, Jesus humbled Himself by becoming a servant, serving others. That's when He took the job of the in John, he took the job of the lowest servant, a job that a Hebrew slave didn't have to do. It was too demeaning for a Hebrew slave to do that. You had a Gentile, a heathen slave in your household, then he washed the people's feet. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And you can imagine how shocking it was to the... Peter says, you're not going to do that to me. You ever had somebody wash your feet? It's humbling to have somebody wash your feet. And some churches do that. Brother Jack said, he says, those that do that will be blessed, it says in Scripture. So they, once a year, they men all go on one side of the church and women on the other, and they wash each other's feet. Whoever decides first, let him be your slave. As the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so you serve other people. You want to humble yourself. Okay. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let him look out not for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Let this mind that be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. People say, I've got the mind of Christ. Oh, this is the mind of Christ. I don't have any of those things in me. I got no demons in me. I got the mind of Christ. The most self-centered, conceited folks I know. God forgive me for judging. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord God. That's Philippians 2, 3 to 5. Leviticus. And we know we talked about it. Aaron's going to bring the bull offering for himself. Before you can go and pray for others, you get all your own sin out of the way. And when you stand praying, if you've got anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses. Now here we're talking about forgiveness. We've already been over that. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regards for the good things in the sight of all men. That's Romans 12, 17 to 19. If it's possible, as much as depend on you, live peacefully with all. And beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place for wrath. It's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You want vengeance, you're a thief. You want to revenge, you want to see somebody pay for what they did to you, you are a thief. You're stealing from God. And you know how he feels about thieves? They're way out there, but the tormentors, that's where they are. Therefore, this is the verse God gave me. If you bring your gift, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled and then come off your gift. That's when I spent 2 months writing everybody I could think of that I'd ever offended or hurt or taken anything and asked them to forgive me and asked them what I could do to make it right. Because it says, agree with your adversary quickly. And he ain't talking about the devil. He's talking about somebody you've offended. Quickly, while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. And your judge hand you over the officer, and you remember God is a just God. And if somebody cries out to you, remember it says the wages, the laborers whom you withheld wages, if they cry out to God, you consider it sin to you, and you'll pay. Those laborers got to worry about what they're sowing because it's going to come back to them. But just remember, if you have offended them and they have a just cause to cry out to God against you, you can come under judgment. I can show you that in Judges chapter 9 if you want to read about the curse of Jeroboam's son. But I've talked too long now. And I'm not anywhere near the end of this thing. And that is in Luke, the same thing. Luke 12:58, Romans 12:18. We've read that. And so, you've come to the point now where you've humbled yourself. My people will humble themselves and pray. And you've prayed and you've forgiven everybody and you said, Lord, is anybody that I have, that's got something against me, that I've hurt in any way and I need to be right with. You're taking care of that. Then you break the evil soul ties. Now, what is an evil soul tie? Well, I've got 8 or 10 pages in my book over there on it, the different ways that you get it. But there's a spirit. It's a witchcraft spirit that comes into you, takes part of your soul, and ties you to someone or to some hurt. The spirit's name is Habakkuk. Now, you have to pardon my pronunciation. They said about me in high school, I could torment one pool word 10,000 ways. It's a Hebrew word. I found it by accident. You know, there are no accidents. I was researching the Bible for the effect of music on the sorcerer's use of music. And I was looking up the word melody and the Strong's reference word for melody is 2172. And I transliterated to 2267 when I wrote it down. And I looked that up in the theological textbook of the Old Testament, and I came up with this. And I said, now, this doesn't have anything to do with music. I said, this is interesting. This is a source of soul ties. And it was an interesting word. It got about 2 pages or 3 pages, 8 or 9 different variants of it. And all the different variants of soul ties. Even the one in Malachi where he said, I have brought you together with the wife of your covenant and I have put my spirit in you. Tie you together. For I desire a holy seed. And so it can be an evil spirit or it can be a good spirit. And they're all variations. They're variations of pronunciation, variations of spelling, and so forth. But you break evil soul ties. You have to know what they are. No. You just call that demon out and call back your soul that's been stolen from you, that you lost through various ways. What does he say here? He said, he restores my soul. Well, your soul is your mind, your intellect, your will, and your emotions. And he restores that the enemy steals from you through whoredom, through idolatry, through drugs, foolish words and oaths you've made, through foolish joining together with other people, through foolish agreements. You're bound by the words of your mouth. God says, I have no patience with a fool who makes a vow and does not keep it. Anyone who binds his soul, let him be quick to fulfill his vow, for I have no patience with fools. And so God says, He said, I will restore your soul. And so you break those evil soul ties, and then you do this with rejoicing and thanksgiving, and the peace of God will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:9. The gentleness be known to all men. Be fearful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard or garrison us, protect your hearts and your minds and thoughts through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, of good report, there be any virtue, any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. And so when you're pushing those thoughts out, what do? You meditate on these things. Push those bad thoughts out and replace them with good thoughts. In the name of Jesus. Now you realize that you can't do this in no quick 15-minute prayer session. But it's a lifestyle of prayer that you must follow. Of forgiveness, making amends. It's not possible through natural association. Trust God to bring it to pass. And God is willing to make it happen. We know, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And then you turn from your wicked ways. Therefore, oh, let sin reign in your mortal body. Doing so possess works of the flesh, follow God's wisdom instead and cry out for help. Look at this. This is in Jeremiah. Surely after I was turned, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, and I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did not bear the reproach of my youth. He also speaks in there that the people didn't know how to blush. They didn't know how to be ashamed of their sin. How many folks you know walk around and say, oh yeah, I put that under the blood. That's all under the blood now. Thank you, Lord. It's forgiven until I do it tomorrow and I'll repent again. Y'all know folks like that? I do. I know somebody used to be like that. He's real close to me. Walks with me all the time. Thank God God has delivered me from him. But he's right back there. He wants back in. And so you turn. Repent means to change your mind, say it's wrong, and turn around and walk away from it. There, we talked about that. The wisdom that is from above is first pure.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there.